There's a Bristol man in the news this week because he set up a Facebook site. Okay. Saw a woman on a train, right? Met her on the train. He talked briefly. Then she got off the train and he didn't really get her details. And he thought about asking her out and he didn't. So he thought he would try a Facebook site and it didn't work. So you've got to seize the moment. That's the way to go about it. Mm-hmm. Or is it? Let's get some advice in that direction from author and relationship guru, Dr. David Fraser. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Fred.
So here's this guy. He was struck by this woman's beauty on the train and engaged her in chat, and then she got off and he's stuck. What should he do in that situation? Should you ask somebody out that early on? Do you take the plunge?
Well, you've got to seize the moment, I think, like you said. I think the thing is, in that sort of situation, it's maybe about getting some contact details or something, you know, so as you can phone them or text them or email or something like that. Going for broke and asking them out maybe isn't the thing to do just when it's so
new.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I think that's the thing. You know, it all depends on the circumstances. I mean, we don't really know how long they were actually chatting for. That's
right.
Not really reported, I don't think. So
are there rules? Not rules, but I mean, broad guidelines for people in this situation. Then, David, you know, sort of, okay, if it's a 15-minute chat and it's all going well, then you say, "Do you mind if I get your email address?" Or do you have to wait until you maybe bump into her in the train again and then say, "You know, hi again"?
Well, I think, as you say, you know, you need to seize the moment. I think the thing, rather than saying, "Can I get your email address?" the thing to do might be to say,
I really enjoyed you.
Yeah, well, perhaps not. See, I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really like to sort of see you again sometime. Could we keep in touch? Could I have some means of contacting you?
I think that's the thing.
You know, sort of take it slowly and easily. I think the important thing is to put yourself in their shoes. You know, how is it for them? And we kind of people want to feel safe. You know, so don't ask for something that's hard for the person to say yes to. You know.
Well, we've got a very forward person in Karen McKenzie, but we equally have another one of our BBC colleagues, Karen Murdoch, who you'll remember is a decisive person. How's the two home contents insurance policies doing,
Karen?
Oh, it's
Karen? Still running
they're
parallel.
They're both fine.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Cost
yes.
you money by the week. We
yes,
are going to sort
yes.
this out for you. That is my... I know
mission,
it's a bit late. A
say.
Bit late for a 2010 New Year's resolution, but Karen, I'm going to get that sorted out for you. Okay?
Okay.
I'll hold you.
Join us in the 31st of December programme. We'll rush that through. Okay, tell us your story, Karen.
Well, I seized the moment myself a number of years ago with my daughter's father.
Mm-hmm.
We had we had more than a sort of 15-minute, very brief chat, but to set the scene, my poor old mother had fallen in town and broken her shoulder, uh-huh. and it was a very stressful old time because she was quite unwell. And then attended physiotherapy to mend her shoulder. But this took place over a number of weeks. And the first appointment, I took her along because she was a bit too frail to go herself.
Right.
And she came out at the end of the appointment. She said, "Oh, Karen, I have to go back next week, but you'll have to come with me because I can't understand him." Because he was Dutch, and she said, "Oh, he's foreign. I just don't understand him." So I kind of went along to translate his very excellent English for my mum. First time I went, I was all dishevelled and I just hauled on the first thing that was there behind the door when I left.
It's a look that we know well from around the BBC.
Yes, you'll have seen me like that often. And then for the next appointment, I found myself, you know, sort of thinking a little bit about what I wore. He's nice. Yeah, he was good looking. He was so nice with my mum. And what really sold him for me was his tenderness and the care with my mum. I thought, yes, you're for me. So, and you know, you can tell when people are, you know, you can tell there's a wee something there.
How long did it take you to ask him out, Ken?
12 weeks.
12 weeks.
But I was a bit concerned about the professionalism of the situation.
Right.
That was, you know, he was in his workplace, and I could tell he liked me, and he knew I liked him.
Uh-huh.
But you know, nothing ever happened. And then in the final appointment, I thought to myself, right, I think he's going to ask me out. He's,
you
know,
better.
This is it. This is
or
our
I'm gonna
farewell.
Have to break my mum's other shoulder.
Exactly. Look, I think my mum would have voluntarily launched herself down the stairwell because
she set you up, Karen. She set you up.
She was
week
getting
one.
Quite frustrated. I think so. So
you asked him out.
So no. Well, what I did was I wandered off at the end of the appointment, that quite disgruntled that he hadn't asked me out. Went home, wrote a little thank you note because I thought this is my moment. Today's my moment, and that's it. I might never see him again, and that was the appeal actually too. I thought that I won't be turning up next week to someone who may turn me down. Yes. So I wrote a little thank you note and I left my phone number in it, and I went down to the hospital and dropped it in at reception. Uh-huh. And I think I must have knocked over half a dozen people on my way out. I flew out the department and then I felt very, very pleased with myself and I sort of forgot about it actually, because it was a week later before he made the call.
That was cool.
But then I'm very glad I did. But once we started dating and I asked him, would you have done anything about that? Would you have asked? No. So it was, you know, if I hadn't written that little note, I wouldn't have little Iris today.
Well.
And nothing would have been done about it.
Does that mean he didn't fancy you?
Maybe I don't know. He's very professional and was more concerned about that and thought, oh, if I bump into her again, that'll be nice. I'll remember her name. And
it's a good story, David,
it's a lovely
isn't it?
Story.
It certainly is.
It's a very good relationship story.
I think it's interesting how Karen mentioned that the thing that really struck her was how he showed this care and concern for her mother. And I think there's a little lesson in there, you know, that that's really what it's all about in the end. It's about showing that we care about other people. And of course, you can broaden that out from just this kind of relationship to all sorts of relationships, you know, at work, with friends, with other family members, all sorts of things. And it's one of the key things, actually, is what I would call attending to other people. And it's not really how we grow up. It's something that we need to learn to do perhaps later in life, but it's absolutely key to getting something to happen in this kind of relationship, but in other working relationships and things like that as well.
I suppose,
and it's kind of contrary to what we're taught sometimes, you know, too.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, you get all this sort of assertiveness skills things and things like that, where push for what we want and that kind of thing. And that's okay up to a point, but eventually we need to figure out that in order to get what we want, we need to help other people get what they want.
Because I was going to say, just before you made that statement, David, I was going to say, I suppose what we need to do to learn more about relationships and getting in and out of them is you need to have the relationships. It's the there's no substitute for personal experience.
Well, in a way, that's what my book's about. It's kind of saying that
it is the substitute.
It is the substitute, yeah, indeed, yeah. So, and it can help you learn more quickly, because there kind of is a formula. Dealing with people is really the same in a way, whatever the circumstances.
Right.
And there is kind of a formula for that, and that's what I've written about, in fact, and that's what's in my book, the book called Relationships Made Easy, and that's what I've put in it. So that's what I've learned. I mean, it took, you know, 40-odd years to learn that, but I've written it down so as maybe other people can find out a bit more quickly. You know?
Available at how much?
Well, it's $14.99 is the cover price. Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And who's it aimed at? I mean, is it aimed at single people or is it aimed at people that are in relationships as well?
Well,
David?
Both. Right. Both. It's okay. And working relationships as well, because my particular message is that there is a way to deal with people, whatever the circumstances. Right. And if we just look at things at the right kind of level, we can be skillful at that.
David, I feel like we've had a consultation from you this morning. Thank you very much for that, for free.
Well, indeed.
Here I am.
And also, Karen Murdoch, thank you as well. Your story has probably, you know, struck a chord and rung some bells with people listening.
Oh, my message is go for it. Seize the moment.
Can I just say, I've put a little more information up on the web about this on relationshipsmadeeasy.info for information.
Right.
Just my take on if you need to ask somebody out how you might go about it and some of the mistakes to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Well, David and Karen, if you want to swap numbers,
it's lovely. Children. I asked.
You checked.
Thanks, Karen.
Mackenzie, read you like a book. Thanks very much for chatting, guys. Cheers.